My name is Kari Winter. I'm a professor of American Studies and the executive director of the Humanities Institute for the year.
And the Buffalo Humanities Festival this year, give me your sketch of it.
It's focused on the ever more urgent issue of environments, and we're going to have speakers addressing aspects of how to cope with environmental change and what the effects of climate change are in the world from many different perspectives. So notably, Bill McKibben, one of the world's most famous climate change activists, will be giving the keynote on Friday night at the Albright Knox.
So I'm David Castillo, professor of Romance Languages and Literatures, and current director of the Humanities Institute at UB. As for the 2017 Buffalo Humanities Festival, I will add to what Kari said, that part of our thinking is that during these difficult times, as we witness the ravages of hurricanes, fires, wars, and also fake news, demagoguery, and hate speech, it seems to us that it is more urgent than ever for the arts and humanities to reclaim a central position in public discourse. To bring evidence-based analysis, ethics, and creativity to bear on the big issues of our time, from the planetary threat of climate change to the resurgence of fundamentalism, racism, and misogyny, as well as the imperial state of our democracies around the world. No big deal, really.
No big deal. Back to just climate change for a moment. Why would the humanities take on climate change?
A very good question. I'm going to paraphrase from Bill McKibben now, from his book Oil and Honey. He talks about how important it is to think about where corporations belong, for example, and where they don't. So here is an example. If you want to tap into the tar sands, he says, you need a corporation to do it. If you are trying to decide whether tapping the tar sands is a good idea, then you need to keep corporations out of it. That's probably more a debate for ethicists and certainly for people like us, as well as scientists. I believe that the humanities have an important role to play in terms of understanding where we ought to strive to go as communities at this time. That's also a point that Bill McKibben makes when he talks about the importance of working with your neighbors in making sure you create a sustainable future for your communities. The humanities need to be an active part of that.
What do the humanities bring to the equation? I mean, because it does seem like a technical question.
So how about let's turn the tables a little bit. We are right now at a time where information is being lost in a sea of fake news, denialism, ideological silos. Evidence-based knowledge is being lost in the shuffle. The opportunity to hit the pause button and have a conversation about the issues that truly matter to our communities is also lost in the shuffle. Part of the problem of the speed of media today has to do with our inability to hit that pause button and have a real conversation. As a matter of fact, it appears that if we don't have ready-made answers for everything, we are inauthentic somehow. we are not speaking from the heart. So the time that is necessary for thinking and discussing possibilities, options, ideas, is being lost. We are being robbed of the time for thinking and discussion. The humanities are a way to put that time back into the thick of things, to reinvest in the time that is required, and the methodology, the discipline, the creativity that is required to come up with the ideas that can help you out of this pickle, so okay. to speak.
All right. Why should the humanities be involved in the discussion that I think, maybe going back to, you know, the quick way we get our news and information, that almost seems, climate change, seems like a technical question, a scientific question. Where do the humanities, why would an English professor or a history professor or a classical professor, how would they come into this conversation?
Science has a lot to contribute to our understanding. Science, for example, tells us that humans share with all other life on Earth and in the universe more than 99.9% of the basic genetic materials and building blocks. What science doesn't tell us is how to transform our imagination so that we see the significance of that genetic reality, that we share life with the rest of life, that we're a part of a larger whole. But our destructiveness is self-destructiveness. Our destructiveness of other aspects of life comes back to destroy us. That is a question that requires imagination. It requires storytelling, because human beings are a species that understands the world through stories. And an example is, for example, almost exactly 200 years ago, Mary Shelley published Frankenstein, which posits a question of, just because a scientist can do something, is that the right thing for them to do? So Victor Frankenstein manages to create a creature, but he lacks the imagination to care for the creature. And it's a failure of caring. It's a failure of humanity, not of scientific know-how.
Is the discussion on climate change lacking imagination?
It is lacking an ethical imagination. It is lacking a storytelling capacity to persuade human beings that we are all interrelated. And by all, I don't just mean humans are all interrelated, but we are interconnected to all of life. And our preoccupation with individual wealth, with imagining ourselves as accountable just to our families or wanting to enrich ourselves and our families, is extremely short-sighted and in the end self-destructive. So the humanities are really crucial for pushing us to reimagine the world in ways that can be filled with joy and healing, interconnection, creativity, not greed and destructiveness.
So how will the Humanities Festival lead us through that conversation?
The first festival event this year is a community conversation organized by Humanities New York. The issues to be discussed in that forum have to do with ethics, justice, and science, as they touch on climate change. Recently, one of our people here in the Humanities Institute, our good friend Rebecca, called attention to the fact that one of our speakers for that event recently was interviewed by Bill McKibben, by our keynote speaker of an anchor of the Friday event. As part of that conversation, I selected this quote, which I think goes to the heart of both your questions. The climate crisis offers a lens to understand many of the inherent injustices of this planet. There is an almost perfect inverse relationship between how much of the problem you caused and how much of the pain you're feeling. Furthermore, it offers the best chance to actually right some of these wrongs. The economic rearrangement that must accompany any successful effort to fix the planet's climate system is an opportunity to make sure that the people who've always been left out won't be put at the back of the all-electric bus. The author of the post is Bill McKibben, but this is part of his interview with the NCAACP Environmental and Climate Justice Director, Jacqueline Patterson. And she's, along with our colleagues, Adam Rome from History, Elizabeth Masolini from English, and Jason Briner from Geology. They are essentially the speakers for this discussion on Friday. They are in charge of getting us going in this conversation, which will be moderated by a good friend of us, Ryan McPherson, the chief sustainability, the chief officer in the sustainability office here at the UB. So this is the Thursday event should focus on these issues, and I trust that it will help us answer both those questions right before we get to Bill McKibben on Friday.
Many of the speakers who are coming for the Humanities Festival, Bill McKibben being at the top of the list, have an ethical worldview that starts with the concept that you cultivate your own plot of land, and then you see how it is connected in circles going forward. So, for example, like the river keepers, water keepers here in Western New York, if we neglect our waterways, that pollutes one of the largest bodies of fresh water on Earth, and the impact is devastating at the local level, and it extends outward. But McKibben exemplifies somebody whose work is rooted in love of place, and it extends outward. So he has lived his life in the Adirondacks and in the Green Mountains of Vermont, and he has a deep and profound love of that place at every level, from the geology to the agriculture to the bees, you know, and it moves outward. So having that profound passion for the particularities of his place empowers him and rejuvenates him as he reaches outward to ultimately develop a planet-wide view. And I think that that pertains to every line of work that we do as individuals, as parents. We start with loving, with caring in our particular place, cultivating our plot of land, our children, our communities, and that extends to a balance from the micro to the macro.
You got into something there that I think is maybe lost in my impression of the climate change debate, is you talk about love of place. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and you can disagree if you'd like, that the general climate change argument comes from the opposite way. It comes from love, if you want to call it, love of the world. It's more of a larger issue, and people are more concerned about their own place. And so I think sometimes maybe they check out of the climate change debate because of it, or just deny it in some way. And I'm wondering if you even agree with that idea, that maybe somehow that idea of love of place is lost in this conversation about it. Climate change.
I think it can be, and that's one of the things we have to come back to. It is absolutely crucial. If you love your place, and you should, I mean, I think our place is literally what grounds us as human beings. It's what nourishes us physically and emotionally. If you love a place, like, say, I love the Chautauqua Institution and Lake Chautauqua, it breaks my heart when you can't swim in what seems like it should be a pristine rural place. You can't swim because of the pollution in the water. All of us should be concerned, passionately, deeply, profoundly concerned about practices that we are undertaking. Lake Chautauqua isn't polluted because of geographical forces outside of our control. It's polluted because of human activity. We can change that, hopefully. But who wouldn't want to? I mean, if you don't have that love, your life is severely diminished. So I think displacement, uprooting, violence, war, those are another source of tremendous concern for all of us, because it severs people from their place. It disrupts our environments locally and globally. But I do think that grounding yourself in a love of place. If I look at my garden, because I'm a passionate gardener, one of the goals of my garden is to keep bees alive, to provide habitat in which bees can thrive. But they are impacted by everything that goes beyond the boundaries of my garden.
Right, right.
And so they can't thrive in my garden alone if they encounter toxins that threaten them, similarly with the frogs and the bats and all of the creatures that I love that are crucial. Like, we have a very reciprocal relationship. They nourish me and I try to nurture them. And so I think that is the metaphor that works at spiritual and creative levels, while it is also not a metaphor but a physical reality of our existence in the world.
Mm-hmm. Bill McKibben, who is, he's a huge name. How did the Humanities Institute go about getting Bill McKibben to come to the Humanities Festival?
Well, we sent him a long email appeal. And
David's
made
voice in writing is just as sultry as his voice in speaking, so he's quite persuasive.
Oh, you guys are funny. Thanks for fun. We made sure that in that letter it was clear that we were thinking about the local as much as the global. So we directed this impassionate appeal with a sense of, you know, this is an opportunity to fire us up. Those of us who are ready, those of us in Buffalo and Western New York, who are ready to take this up as a cause, but also to inspire others who may not have thought about their own place in the discussion and in the fight for climate change, due to the premise of your previous question, the notion that, hey, this is a global problem. This is way beyond my capacity to even conceive about my place in the discussion. I would add to that this is still thinking about the frame of your questions, the notion, why the humanities? Stories, as Carrie says, are very powerful. And they can provide a way out of this solipsistic attitude that we are sometimes trapped into by default. The notion that if it doesn't affect me directly, then it doesn't really exist, or it exists in a place that doesn't matter to me. It happens to others, but not to me. And stories have the ability of making you feel empathy. Empathy can be a powerful force. But to experience empathy, one has to be able to place himself or herself in somebody else's shoes in a way that impacts your perspective on the world. That's something that McGibbon does very effectively. He's a storyteller as much as he is an activist. He's a very effective storyteller, and he has a way of making you feel included in the conversation and making you understand that you do have a place in the discussion. We have the 12-8 path band coming in for a reception, and naturally beer, provided by Community Beer Works. We hope
nothing generates ideas like
that
beer.
This will do the trick, the combination.
Okay. Responding to your question about sort of what's in it for the audience, we live in an extraordinary time of fear and hatred. There is a lot in the world to be afraid of, and there are also a lot of fear-mongers among us, a lot of people who are cultivating and promoting hatred, which is extremely destructive. And then there is a widespread feeling of anxiety and grief that almost everyone is dealing with right now in the world today. So I believe that attending the Humanities Festival is a way to powerfully re-encounter what we love, what we value, and what we can create. So I think that's what people need and want who care right now about the planet and about human survival. We need to remember what we love. We need to think about it, immerse ourselves in it. We need to reaffirm our values. And we want to know what we can do. What can we create?
What stands out to you that you want to reiterate or that we didn't get into yet?
Hey, come celebrate the power of conversation with us. That's all we ask for. There is so much misinformation out there about so many issues, including climate change, but not only climate change. And the best medicine against misinformation is consulting with people who know what they're talking about and engaging in a real dialogue. Not one where you, you pretend to have a conversation, but you you are not prepared to negotiate your answers, your beliefs, your fundamental position vis-a-vis the biggest issues of our time. So come in with an open mind, celebrate the power of conversation with us, and enjoy that that beer that we were talking about earlier.
So one of the explicit values we've talked about in building the Humanities Festival this year is the importance of community and forging interconnections among caring people and creative people throughout Western New York. So the Humanities Festival brings together many different partners, and it gives a wonderful opportunity for people who are old friends and people who have not yet met each other to interconnect, to strengthen their own scholarship, their creativity, their artistic endeavors, and their community activism. So it's really very much an event that is for the community and about the community.
Yep, so let's come out of our screens and inhabit the public spaces.
All right. Well, very good. Very good.